I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
The natives in the Amazon worshiped it like a god.
With Doug Wright and Steve Sales. The week's big movie review, movie news, trivia, games, and prizes. All on the KSL Movie Show. Here's Doug Wright.
This is a man. A handsome, muscular man.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Tis the movie show, ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the mean streets of Holiday, Utah. KSL Holiday
today. Barely made it through.
You know, one of these days we really ought to do the show from my palatial estate down in Eureka. What do you think?
Oh, boy.
You know, we'd have to alert all the guards and have the compound opened. And
I'll do it if you have Chopper 5 standing.
You know, I've actually flown to Eureka for, you know,
of course you have.
A teacher feature in Chopper 5. It was pretty cool. We landed on the...
You dropped turkeys out of the...
No. Well, I was the only turkey to get out of the helicopter. But when that was after we landed, by the way. They tried to get me out before, but we landed there, and the kids at Eureka Elementary School, because we were honoring one of their great teachers.
Aww.
They were all out there. It was very, very cool.
That's very showy.
Yeah. Was, you know...
Were you wearing a cape? Or?
Make an appearance. No... I was just myself.
Did you play the Flight of the Valkyries as you came in?
You know, he's got a grand image of what this should have been Yeah, right. Okay, well, gosh, it was nice chatting with you about that, Steve. Yeah. Well, anyway, the movie show today from the KSL Holiday location, and we have a plethora of things.
You would say we have a plethora?
I would say we have a plethora. Okay. Do you know what a plethora is?
I do now.
I've actually heard that used a couple of times, and it freaks me out because we always use it as kind of a semi-joke. But it's actually used in polite conversation among the chic and elite.
They're all winking when they do it.
We probably ought to give everybody the... We call it a preview, but it's actually a warning of what is to come. Should we do that?
Yes.
All right, the movie show preview.
The following preview has been rated G and is appropriate for all audiences.
Coming up on today's movie show, the big movie review.
And the big movie review of the week is Made in Italy. This is interesting. Liam Neeson with his real life son.
Yes.
And we've got others. And it's kind of an interesting, you know, almost a little bit of the Tuscan Sun in here, to say the least. But this is the week
Sun,
of...
Sun, S-O-N?
Or? This is the week of... Artists. We have another movie, the orange, what is it called? The Burnt Orange Heresy, yeah. Which is about an artist. And this one, Made in Italy, is also about an artist, not focusing so much on his art, but family tragedy, right?
And they're both in...
Tuscany.
Yeah. Well, one's in Lake Como.
But that's Tuscany.
Is it?
No. I don't have a
That's
clue.
What made me think, you know, for an after party, we should do movies that make you want to go places.
And exactly. And I hooked on to that immediately because after you watch the Maldonado Miracle, you just want to go to Eureka. And after you
really?
see the movie Bats, you just want to go to Eureka.
That's like saying, I just watched Sandlot. I want to go to Glendale.
Or to Midvale.
Or to Bountiful.
Or to Bountiful. Or to the Ogden Swimming Pool. No, that's a good
idea.
Now,
if you can find that Sandlot
Yeah. You've got dirt from the sand. Well, they've taken so much dirt from the sand lot. Does it even exist anymore? It's
more like the Bingham copper
now
mine.
Turned into an open pit mine out there because Steve has hogged all of the sand.
I just took a little bit.
Just a vial or two.
Yeah.
Speaking of vial, we continue on with the movie show. And we will also be taking a look at other films. We've already mentioned the Burnt Orange Heresy. That was scheduled to open in the theaters. You actually saw it on the big screen. Did you?
I think.
On a traditional screening, which is now a thing of the past, it seems.
Yeah, it was clear back in March when I saw it the first time.
But you've seen it a second time.
And that helps.
I need to see it a second time, too, because, you know.
There's some shock in it that you can't quite get over.
Yeah.
And then get back to the story and figure out what's going on. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, this is.
And the end. What?
Yeah. You know, if somebody, you know, does something kind of nasty to you once, don't trust them again, you know?
Yeah.
It's the old thing. Fool me once, shame on you. Try to kill me twice, and shame on me. So anyway, we'll
How
get into that.
How about the guy, though? Didn't he look like a swarthy James Mason?
He did. He did.
He
was an art critic. And I liked the opening segment where he's giving this great big, you know, soliloquy on this piece of art that's up on the screen. And, you know, he's just got everybody, you know, kind of hooked like
Who wants
guppy.
A print? I do.
That's right. That's right. So anyway.
Yeah, it's actually, there's some moments. Okay.
Latte and the Magic Water Stone.
that's an animated movie.
Yeah, I was going to say Rogue Warfare, The Hunt. That's
you know,
coming up.
How can you screw up a war movie? Well, we're about to find out.
We're going to find out. America's Only Rock and Roll Magazine. That is coming up.
Yeah, you know, I thought the Rolling Stone was a magazine, but they
discount that?
They thought that was just too dumb to actually name your magazine after a group. And so they changed their name. They loved Cream, you know.
I remember that.
The Clapton group, but they decided to spell it different.
Yeah, well.
And that's the cool part.
Good for them. All right, so we'll be reviewing all of those films. We're also going to be doing the QPW, the Quarantine Picks of the Week. And you took the ultimate challenge to actually grow up and be a big boy and actually see Gone with the Wind.
And I didn't know we were going to actually call each other names, however.
Well,
Big Baby, yeah, Baby.
Dee did that.
You also jumped on that little bandwagon and go, Baby. You know, then
you
jumped behind her skirt.
You know, Kelly's, you know, kind of engineering on the side. Have you noticed we put Baby in the corner here today? So
with my Tiny Tim desk.
With your little Tiny Tim desk, and I'm sitting at the Scrooge desk here, so.
Yeah, I want.
Or is that the Resolute desk?
No, I think it's
no,
more
somebody
like,
else. Speaking of Big Baby, sits at the Resolute desk.
No, the Hudsucker Proxy desk.
Oh, that was a big desk. Okay. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, we're also going to get into a little telephone torture later on in the program, and give away fabulous prizes worth up to dollars. The Movie Show Top 10, sponsored by our friends at Call Climate Services. That, too, is coming up. We have, as I mentioned, a plethora of things. Boy, in the movie news today, we've got big, big, big...
There's a ton of movie news.
Movie news. And if you have been wondering about the future of Mulan, oh, baby, big, 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 big news from Disney and Disney Plus. We'll be talking about that. There's some other things, too. If you like sequels or like remakes or whatever, we've got some great news on that. Streaming news, of course, is also coming up. It's all here on the infamous movie show at KSL News Radio.
Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly.
Egg-sactly.
Exactly. I'm going to have to reach in my pocket, take a look at my cell phone to find out that, yes, it is 9:13, and we shall take a break. we're very high-tech
here. You need a clock in here, bro.
No, you don't want a clock in your library. You know?
You don't?
You're sitting here reposing, reading great literature, you know?
It's 3 a.m. What have I done?
You brought your Mad magazine, which I appreciate, but, you know, so, no, you...
No clock in the library. No, that's a thing, huh?
There's no clock in libraries.
In every library in America.
No, you don't. You have maps, and you have the globes of the world and things of that nature.
And specimens of bugs.
Specimens of bugs. No, we'll take a break. We'll come right back with more of the movie show. It's all here at KSL News Radio.
And now, the big movie review. Doug and Steve tell you exactly what they think of the biggest release of the week.
Okay. Certainly this has big names. I mean, Liam Neeson. I mean, good grief. And there are others that you recognize but probably couldn't name their name. Plus, we have Liam Neeson and, you know, his late wife's son.
Yeah,
in
Michael.
This one. Yeah, he actually took her name, Richardson.
Yeah.
And which is
I think
kind
it's kind of
cool.
Interesting. Yeah. I was going to try to research that, but nobody seems to talk about it.
Yeah.
Maybe he just kind of didn't want to be a Neeson, you know, because...
I heard that it was just to honor his mother and the memory of his mother and so on. So
when I first heard that they were going to do this, I thought, oh, brother, you know, father's a good actor, but is the kid any good?
He was good.
He was good.
He was good. So do you want to tell us a little bit about this story? Again, we have an artistic theme here. We have a young man who is not in good terms with his wife.
Yes, soon-to-be ex-wife.
Soon-to-be.
Whose family financed an art gallery that he has been running successfully, by the way.
Very well, yeah. He takes great pride in it.
But they're getting divorced, so guess what?
And she's kind of, she is nasty.
She's a snot.
Yeah, this is not a good thing.
No, and so, but he wants to buy it from her. But he and his father own a villa in Tuscany that they've held on for 20 years after a tragedy.
It was the wife's family that had that.
Right. And so they're the heirs of it, father and son. An angel just got their wings.
I know, an angel just got their wings. That little brrr. Okay.
So he's asking dad, let's go to Tuscany. Let's get the place. We haven't been there in 20 years. Let's see what kind of shape it's in and fix it up, sell it so I can buy the art gallery from my Carilla DeVille ex-wife, soon to be.
This makes the place that Diane Lane bought in Tuscany look palatial.
Yeah, that was a fixer-upper. This is the money pit.
This is, oh, man. Plus, it has a very unique artistic work on one wall.
Which I hated from beginning to end.
I know, me too.
I thought, please paint over that.
I know, it looked like Dante's Inferno.
Yeah, it just looked like a crime scene.
Yeah, and we do find out, you know, why it's there and why it is so... stark, let's put it that way.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, still.
It's a terrible memory.
I don't want it on the wall.
No, I don't either. Hey, remember when? Oh, yeah, there it is, right?
There it is, right there. Every morning, eating Cheerios. Oh, nice.
So what'd you think?
I liked the movie. I really did. I thought that it was poignant. It was fun. I liked the relationship because it wasn't just all flowers and hearts and everything else. I thought it was interesting, too, that in Tuscany, again, the same thing that happened to Diane Lane, you kind of meet people there that have their own issues going on. There's a beautiful woman, and her name is Valeria Bilello, who played Natalia, actually. And
of course, the gorgeous.
Oh, she's just absolutely gorgeous.
Restaurant owner.
Restaurant owner. And she, you know, and the way they meet is kind of cool. You know, it's one of those, you know. And I love it, too, when they invite her over for dinner.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just struggling because neither of them can cook. And they find the perfect solution in this little store who sells this marvelous food. Well, there's an interesting hook there as well. And, you know,
one of my favorite moments was when they discovered the weasel in the bathroom. And they're like, oh, what do we do? And they call the guy and he just looks at him like,
yeah,
the weasel is
goes
in a bag.
Puts it in a bag. I like, too, when originally he sees the weasel underneath the sink, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he opens it up. I thought, well, you know, in here it would be a raccoon. But there it was, a weasel. And, you know, and it doesn't just perfectly tie up in a big, you know, pink bow. But
although there are a lot of it's pretty predictable. I love the movie, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it is so predictable. What you think is going to happen is going to happen. There's some nice poignant moments, though, between father and son that I thought was – Liam was really acting his tail off in that. In that attic, in that space.
Well, and to have him outside of the big action hero and kicking butt and, you know, chasing bad guys all over the world and throwing people off trains. You know, this one, he's a very sensitive artist.
Well, like Love Actually, you know, he'll do that role and then he'll come back and he'll break some heads and then he'll come back and do something sweet like this.
Yeah. So, yeah, I too like the movie. It's a good, I'd give it probably three and a half, maybe stretching it.
And it's because I just love that area, and now I kind of want to go back and see Under the Tuscan Sun just as a reminder of how much that area is just gorgeous.
It is so beautiful. And you know what's interesting, speaking of the Tuscan Sun, the ties that we have between the two movies, because we have, you know, Lindsay Duncan, who plays Kate, And you do not call her Katie.
Right, it's and her Kate. Name in the other movie was Catherine.
That's right. And then we remember her also for the nasty grandma in Gifted. And
do you remember?
Yeah. So, you know, there are familiar faces in here, and that is such an interesting direct
link. Well, I thought
link.
Maybe, is this trying to be a sequel then? Because she's a real estate agent in the first movie, and now she's here in this one.
I didn't get the feeling that it was supposed to be a sequel. And plus, in the first one, I never even got the real estate connection on that, because she was always talking about Fedini, and she was dancing in the fountain, and she would eat ice cream, and she had lovers, you know, and she was kind of a... she was always talking about the Fellini movie that she was in back in the old days.
I vaguely remember that, but I knew I'd seen her in something, and I thought, oh, she was in Under the Tuscan Sun.
Yeah, exactly. And then Gifted. Oh my goodness, she is that narcissistic, just driving. You know, she's a horrible person, but not a, you know, she's just so in love with math and accomplishment and so on that she pushed her daughter to the very edge, and now she wants to push her granddaughter to the very edge, and she's tough.
So I give this a B+, mainly because I thought the acting was really good, even though it was predictable, and I love the location.
Oh, the location!
It just took
beautiful.
Me to a place, again, a destination that I would love to visit.
And that will be the theme of the after party here on the movie show. You know, what? Because of a movie... What is a destination that, you know, you saw that in the movie and you thought, you know, we need to go there?
You know, a perfect example is, remember Oblivion with Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
And he goes to that faraway little retreat in the mountains?
Yeah.
I had to look that up, and I couldn't find it anywhere. It's a little lake called June Lake. It's not too far from Mammoth Lake, so it's up there in the Sierras. And it's just a sweet little, beautiful little lake, and they built that little lean-to on one of the shores and all that. Oh, I want to go there.
If you were to ask Dee, and you said, what is the site in a movie or the place in a movie?
Terra?
No. Remember in the great movie Somewhere in Time? Remember that grand hotel on, what was it, Mackinac Island?
Oh, Mackinac?
Yeah, Mackinac Island, and it's the hotel is real. And
up northern Michigan?
Yeah, and it's just... Dee has always wanted to go there.
Well,
and
there you go.
So there, as soon as the COVID is over, would you get this thing wrapped up? So
I would love to be able to do that for everyone.
You know, it's interesting because both I took my semi-retirement 2 years ago, and Dee took her retirement in December.
Yeah, you didn't know you'd be spending.
And we're
this
just
much
locked
time.
Down. This is our traveling. You know, hanging out with you.
Wow!
Wow! How pitiful is that?
That is beyond sad.
That is. Boy, I'm choking up. I'm getting all...
I'm crying just thinking about
it. I know. I'm crying just thinking about it, too. But that's where we would like to go. And we've actually had friends who have gone there, and they say it really is charming.
I'm surprised you haven't, like, gone to Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey.
What's the name of the castle?
Oh, it's... what is it? High Clear
yeah,
something?
Something
like that, yeah. I'll tell you, though, you know, going to the castles over there, I've only been to one, and it was Windsor. And do you remember
it's
when
kind
we
of a good start.
Remember when we I did the junket? We left the little people behind.
But Piccadilly Cowboy.
Yeah, the Piccadilly Cowboy. They changed the name on that, but we were over there, and one of our outings, because we did our broadcast from BAFTA. Remember from the kind of the clubhouse there?
You know, I was here.
Yeah, you weren't here. You were
Doug's on the Rhine. Where's Steve in a closet?
Yeah. But one of our little outings was to Windsor Castle, and it is amazing.
I bet.
Yeah. Okay, we're just squirreling here today. All right, let's take a brief respite here on the movie show, and we shall return. And when we do come back, we'll talk about the movie news. And if you've been wondering when you will have the opportunity to see Mulan, you're going to have that opportunity in less than a month, but it's in a very unique way.
Instead of a 40-foot screen, it'll be a 40-inch screen.
40-inch screen. Is that all you have, a 40-inch screen?
No, it's much bigger than that.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking.
I remember when I had the biggest TV in the group, but is yours a 70-inch?
It's close.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll tell
totally
you.
Make, mine's bigger than Tim's. How about that?
Bigger than Tim Hughes's?
No.
Not
even close.
Nobody has a better, you know, place to view movies than a Tim Hughes's house.
It's got to be at least 100.
I'd say 1,000, maybe.
1,000 inch?
It's a multiple plethora of inches.
He's a giant screen.
He's a giant screen. So we have movie news that is yet to come and a lot of movies. And, you know, it's so interesting. We're almost, again, the stuff you get used to. I'm getting used to this. You know, I'm not saying this is what I want for the rest of my life, but I'm getting used to, you know, putting in the codes and having the movie companies and having you forward things to me and
sitting
there.
It is convenient.
It is convenient. And, you know, and I find myself kind of complaining, like last night when we were watching the Burnt Orange Heresy or whatever it is. You know, we're watching on a screen that honestly was as big as, you know, our big color TV back in the old days when I was growing up.
Yeah.
That was in the living room. You know, those are 25 inches. Can you believe that?
I know, yeah.
That was a big
screen.
And
they were kind of rounded off, too.
Kind of rounded on the corners, 25-inch
color
TV. So you
need to get Chromecast so you can project that onto your big screen.
I think we do have Chromecast. We just need to figure out how to do it.
Michael.
We'll call Michael. All right. All right. Is it I'm looking at my sophisticated clock here. Yeah. It is time to take a brief break, and we will come back. I want to remind you that you can always communicate. This is a two-way street through the Utah Community Credit Union KSL text line. At 57500. That's 57500. And someday when we start at least approaching going back to normalcy and, you know,
well, you did get that note from the studio rep saying, are you guys ready to go back? We're toying with the idea.
And, you know, the interesting thing about going back and seeing them on the big screen, if it's just the cadre of critics, we can socially distance.
Oh, absolutely.
Easily. Which we kind of do anyway.
Yeah.
Except you always cuddle up to somebody.
No, I usually sit up high and wide.
High and mighty. I heard that.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Lowell Thomas speaking, flashing to you the news of the world.
We return now to the KSL Newsreel. The biggest stories from the world of movies, cinema, and the star-studded glamour of Hollywood.
And boy, do we have news. This came out a couple of days ago, and so it's not quite a stop the press. Many people probably have heard about this already, but Disney is going to release, I mean, how many times have we delayed Mulan now? At least three, four times,
yeah,
right?
Three, four times.
Okay, so Mulan, and there is just sitting on the shelf. It's all done. It's ready to go. They've already publicized it several times. And so finally, I think they probably said, you know what? How about if we just do something kind of screwy? And Mulan is going to be on Disney Plus. Now, this is a little bit of a weird deal, too, and I'm sure this is part of the reluctance because the big promise, of course, almost, 9 months ago when Disney Plus was unveiled was that you get it all. I mean, the whole library, the whole shebang, some things will kind of come and go periodically, but there are no additional fees, and they have that very, very low, you know, hey, come on, the first one's free kid type rate. And this is the first time that they're thinking, you know what, on Disney Plus, how about if we experiment with this?
We need money.
Because nobody's going to go, hey, look, you know, they're gouging us because of, you know, this was somehow in the plan. You know, the big, well, I don't know, some people might believe that Disney is responsible for COVID-19, but I don't think so.
Start that rumor.
That's right. Let's start that rumor. That'll go crazy. But I think they're saying, you know, I think people will understand and they will probably appreciate the fact that they already have Disney Plus. They're already getting everything that we promised. But now, theater owners are going to go nuts over this. But then they say, okay, how about if we make this not a rental, but a buy? You buy it. And as long as you are connected to Disney Plus, you own Mulan.
Yeah.
And you can watch it
as
many times as you want. So that's the deal. So you have your standard subscription. And if you have Disney Plus, then you will be able to purchase. And I know this sounds big, but you know, if you have, you know, 14 little kiddies over in the neighborhood and you watch it 14
and
times.
Charge them $5 a piece.
And charge, like Steve does. Mulan is going to cost $30 in the United States with the regular subscription to Disney Plus. Now, apparently they're going to do roughly the same thing in the international markets, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and a number of countries in Western Europe. It'll be released as a premium video on demand. And again, so it's not just a high-priced rental. It is a purchase for as long as you are a Disney Plus subscriber. So you're essentially buying the brand new movie rather than unlocking a one-time rental. So the company has characterized Mulan's release as a one-time deal, but they are openly admitting that this very well could be an experiment. You know, this we only plan on doing this once, yeah. You know, because of the circumstances we're in and everything else. And we think back to Trolls. Remember, we were all going, when it was Universal?
Yes.
That decided, okay, Trolls, look, we're tired of sitting on this. And so they released it for $19.99 or whatever
right,
it was.
And they made a ton of money.
And they made a ton of money.
More than they would have probably if they'd have played
it. It was incredible. So they're saying the president of the Walt Disney Company, CEO Bob, is saying that this will serve as an experiment. They're going to learn and see what happens on this one. They're watching two things. One, will there be an uptick in the subscribers to Disney Plus? And then other, what about the actual number of transactions on Mulan?
Plus, there's another hook. About 43% of the cinemas around the world are open now, but most of them are in Asia,
right,
and Russia. Believe it or not, I don't know how Russia's getting away with this, but where their theaters, they're going to show it in theaters.
That's right. On September 4th, the company is going to release Mulan theatrically in markets where cinemas are open and where Disney Plus isn't operating
right
yet. But the interesting thing is the decision marks the unprecedented approach of releasing a big-budget movie that had been destined for a blockbuster back in the day, and it's a major defection from the rigid rules that usually keep the new movies in theaters for about 75 days, and this is a surprising change. So the question is, and we're going to be talking with our friend Jeff Whipple from the Megaplex Theaters. He'll be joining us coming up at the top of the 10 o'clock hour, and we're going to ask, I mean, how does this affect theaters? Because is it only going to be released in the areas that do not have Disney Plus and theaters? Or, you know, so there are some real questions here. But the impression that I got from reading the article, and you got the same impression, that basically Mulan won't be released in theaters where there's Disney Plus in the market.
That's what I get, too.
So we're going to double check that. So that is big, 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 big news. And again, you know, this goes back to what we've been discussing with almost everything. How much of quote unquote normal are we going to bounce back to? The argument is among people that I highly respect locally, nationally, and internationally, they're saying, you're thinking things are going to go back to normal? It's never going back to normal.
No, there is a new normal that's taking
place.
Well, and here,
I've heard arguments it's not even a new normal. It is a gateway into kind of a new world.
It is a leap.
So, oh, yeah. And for those of us that were considered by our kids or even we considered ourselves somewhat dinosaurs, we've just been shoved through the Stargate here.
True.
You know, on buying things, you know, deliveries to the front door, the way we shop, the way we get our entertainment. I mean, it really has been a shove, not even dragged, kicking and screaming. It's just been a shove. You want to survive, you change.
Well, our next story ties in perfectly with that.
Which is?
Universal. Remember, AMC and Universal fought over the very thing, Trolls.
Right.
How dare you?
Right.
Well, guess what? They kissed and made up. Shocker. Universal has made a deal with AMC, and that includes their sister studio, Fox Features, to shorten the window. The theatrical window used to be 70 days.
Right, or 75 for Disney.
And now it's 17.
Isn't that incredible?
With an option. Now, they don't have to, but the option is that they will then put it on streaming. But here's the brilliance. AMC is getting a kickback.
They cut a deal.
They cut a deal to get a percentage of the streaming if they allow it to go early. So the theaters still have some power.
Yeah.
And they've managed to, but going from 70 to 17 days?
I'm trying to figure out how that works. You know, who does the math? Who writes the checks? How do they keep track? You know, how did you negotiate that? And how much leverage do you have? Right now, I would argue, theaters still do have a huge amount of leverage, but wow, you know that.
Yeah, but their cards are showing, and they really don't have a choice.
In the last 9 months, the world has just dramatically changed.
And the thought is that, you know, this is the first of maybe many deals that other theater chains and studios will be making this same deal.
Let's make a deal. Okay.
And the AMC people said, we wouldn't have done this deal if it wasn't a positive for us.
Right.
So they must be getting a big chunk of that percentage of that.
Well, and AMC is on the verge of bankruptcy, too.
Yeah, but they just refinanced.
I know.
And now they have cash. They think they're sitting in tall cotton.
Yeah, but refinancing, you're still in debt.
That's true.
And you've
but they've restructured the debt.
You've given yourself a reprieve. Yeah. So, I don't know. It'll be
interesting. Well, the CEO is pretty cocky about it, so we'll see.
Well, there you go. If the CEO is cocky, everything's fine.
Well, you'd think.
Everything's fine, fine, fine. Okay, are you ready for this? This is just fun little thing, Dirty Dancing. There have been some attempts to kind of rekindle the
magic.
Yeah,
there was Dirty Dancing Havana Nights.
Havana, you know, where they're down in Cuba, and basically the same story. But this is a little bit of a different deal. The original cast member Jennifer Grey will be involved in this.
That's Baby.
That's Baby, and she was not going to be put in the corner. This earned over $214 million. How much did you think it cost to make Dirty Dancing?
28 bucks.
$5 million bucks. I mean, do the ratio on that. 5 to 214.
Oh, by the way, you remember the lake that was in that movie?
Yeah.
And it disappeared for 20 years. And it just came back.
It came back.
Suddenly it's filled up again. It's some kind of miracle.
It's like Rush Lake out in Tooele. It goes away for years and years and years. And all of a sudden, you know, back in the early 80s, everybody's out there windsailing on it again. And now it's gone again.
Really?
Yeah. So anyway, this the prequel reimagining of the 2004 Dirty Dancing Havana Nights has been out there, as we've mentioned. Grey is set to not only star in this movie, but also serve as an executive producer for the Dirty Dancing follow-up. So everybody's wondering, okay, what is it going to be? Well, big shoes to fill, because Dirty Dancing was an award winner with I've Had the Time of My Life. And that won Best Original Song, both in the Academy Awards and the Golden Globes. The film itself nominated in the Comedy Music category at the Globes. Acting nods for both Swayze and Grey. And it's become a cult classic and lot of iconic moments that everybody, like, you know, you don't put Baby in the corner, you know, the whole thing. Right. So it's going to take a lot, but we don't really have a release date on this yet.
And no, they're still working on the script.
They're working on the whole deal as it was. But the
director is the same guy that did Warm Bodies.
I know. And then you look at Warm Bodies, I love.
That was good.
And you look at, you know, everybody's looking back at those 1980 hits like Top Gun and so on.
Yeah.
So you wonder what other ones might be resurrected. Do you, as a matter of fact, let's see. You know, why don't we take a brief break?
Okay.
And we will elongate our movie news today here at KSL.
We do have a lot of stuff.
News. We got stuff. You know, the movie show has...
The movie show.
We'll soon find out that some wizarding families are better than others, Potter. You don't want to go making friends with the wrong sort.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Okay, we still have a lot of movie news. There's a lot of things breaking this week, so I thought we'd delve in to that. I can do this one quickly. The Whitney Houston biopic, I Want to Dance with Somebody, has been acquired by Sony TriStar Pictures and is scheduled for a 2022 release.
Nice.
And, you know, we've had documentaries and things like this. This will be interesting because from what we are hearing from the filmmakers, Thanksgiving 2022, as I mentioned, it's the first authorized film about the life of the late superstar, passed away, I can't believe this, 2012. It's been 8 years now. And this is going to include, of course, her songs, which you would expect, but details about the script are unknown. But they are saying at least this. This is going to explore Whitney Houston's journey from her childhood in New Jersey, and that was really interestingly portrayed in the documentary that we saw not all that long ago. They are claiming that it will be very straightforward. It will explore the price that she paid for the superstardom, and it won't shy away from the tragic demise. So again, Thanksgiving 2022, 2 years plus away now, but we'll have that from TriStar.
I can beat that date.
You can beat that date.
With John Wick 4.
And
5. They're
going
to shoot them back to back, but they're still aiming for a May 27th, that's Memorial Weekend, in 2021 for John Wick 4. And then on Stars, they've created a TV show called Continental, which is the name of the hotel.
Right.
And that will start airing after the fourth movie. Not sure when the fifth one will be released, but we have John Wick 4 and 5 coming, and they should begin filming, they said, by the early part of next year.
That's some of my favorite stuff in John Wick. You know, the last one, I watched it again. I really enjoyed it, but, you know, it was so action-packed. It was almost overwhelming. But I love the subtleties. You know, it's kind of the stuff you love in the James Bond movies, where it's just the subtleties and the gentlemanliness of it and the rules of being such a bad boy and the rules of being such a bad supervillain. And there are some lines you don't cross anywhere. And as soon as we're at the Continental, I just love the feel of the Continental. I love the concierge.
The restraint.
I love the, you know, like you basically can't be killed there.
Yeah.
And that's what put John Wick on the outs, you know, for a while.
You can't do that.
So anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And so we have another announcement, at least. Tom Hanks is in discussions with Disney to play, who else? Geppetto.
Steve was so crestfallen because he goes, you know, they're going to make a new Pinocchio. And guess who's going to play Geppetto? And I said, Tom Hanks. And I didn't know.
I know. You're a jerk.
I didn't know. And he goes, oh.
Okay. Now, this is actually good news about COVID-19. I don't know if anyone has been able to come up with a story that says something good came out of this. Matt and Ross Duffer are the creators of Stranger Things.
Yes.
They have taken this time. Normally, when they start a season, they write as they go.
Yeah.
But now, Stranger Things 4 is written.
It's
completely
written,
including a ninth. Normally, they do 8 episodes per season. They've done a ninth episode, and they're all written, ready to go, as soon as they can get back to work. Which will be soon, I hope.
And I hope so.
Natalie Dyer, who plays Nancy Wheeler, said she is so excited. She's told that all the scripts are ready to go, and she is ready to rock and roll.
She was the little gal. We were talking about this off the air. She was in that Yes, God, Yes movie about, you know, kind of
Jesus camp.
The uptight. It was an interesting film because it was kind of hard to describe. But just, you know, the guilt and the fears and
talk about a duck out of water. She's exploring her sexuality just as she goes into a religious Christian camp.
And she's kind of this religious Christian camp is supposed to be kind of the epiphanal moment. So, you know, it's the talk around high school. When the kids come back, their lives are just changed.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks she's such a bad girl because of this nasty rumor that is not true.
That's true, yeah.
And so she's kind of, well, maybe I better go to the camp. And everybody's encouraging me because of your reputation. You need to go to the camp. And then, you know, the hypocrisy and the fear and
what
the guilt.
Learns.
And what she learns about some of the righteous is a little
unique. It's an interesting coming-of-age movie.
You know, I've thought a lot about that movie. I really have.
Especially the nice lady that owned the bar. And she's honey, relax.
This is a little biker mama who was also raised, in this case, Catholic, but this could be applied to almost any religion.
Yeah.
And she just goes, yeah, I was made to feel like I was going to hell because I ate some, you know, what was it, a bag full of gummy bears or something at her grandma's house. You know, so it was an interesting moment, and she kind of brought her back to reality, like, hey, we're all human. We're all going to mess up. And, you know.
I think that's still part of the SLFS at home series.
Yeah, they've offered a lot of things, which has been kind of cool.
Like 13 movies right now. And
I know.
You only have 7 screens between the Broadway and the Tower. What's the deal?
Yeah. So, again.
Hopefully they're doing well.
Well, you know, this is back to what we keep beating the drum on. This has changed the world.
Speaking of which, the Gordon Lightfoot movie, which was at the SLFS, is now also playing at the Megaplex Theaters.
Oh, we got to talk to Jeff about that because I told my son about it. You know, he grew up, you know, he down in Eureka especially. I mean, this shows you, you know, back
you
in the day.
You submitted your kid to...
I mean, I had an old reel-to-reel machine where at the, you know, radio stations, I'd just record the Gord album onto reel-to-reel and we'd play the Gord album. And so, you know, Ian and Katie even, you know, is just steeped on Gord. So I was telling Ian about this documentary. He goes, Dad, I got to see that. So that's
good to
know.
Well, now you can see it on the big screen.
On the big screen. Yep. Which are the Megaplex?
Well, I feel...
We'll find out from
Jeff.
Yeah,
we'll find out. I think it's at least Jordan Commons. I'm not sure about the rest.
We can go to the mountaintop on this one. We can talk with...
The almost big kahuna?
The almost big kahuna. Well, he is the big kahuna of marketing.
That's true.
The big kahuna of marketing, Jeff Whipple, who will be joining us here at KSL News Radio. Well, it's only makes sense, you know, since we were bragging on, you know, the amazing.
He's probably updated his
video room. Yeah, it's probably now, you know, with Atmos sound and, you know, the whole deal.
We used to call him Short Straw Tim. Now it's Big Screen Tim.
That's right. We were just bragging.
It's coming, guys. It's coming.
That one time he condescended to allow us to come and
see a home
actually, you know, experience.
What was the movie we saw?
I can't remember.
No, you guys came over for the Academy Awards.
Oh, the Academy
right.
Awards.
Yeah.
So we saw a plethora of movies.
I have better seating now than I had back then,
though. Oh, you have the D-box seats that shake your ass. And the one, just if you don't like a guest, it just ejects them through the ceiling.
Yeah.
That's right.
Later in the program, I'd like to hear more about Doug pirating albums back in the day.
Oh, well, you know, we all did. But my favorite was when Michael G. Cavanaugh.
So that was okay, huh? If
you know, at night on KRSP, which now is, of course, our sister station, Michael G. wasn't satisfied with hearing, it was Sergeant Pepper's. And so he threaded it around the capstan and the pinch wheel so it would go backwards. And he recorded it on tape and played the whole album backwards.
Ooh.
Why?
Yeah. And I think it said, Paul is not dead when you did that. I'm not sure. All right. It is 10 o'clock. This is KSL FM Midvale, KSL AM, Salt Lake City.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
The natives in the Amazon worshiped it like a god.
With Doug Wright and Steve Sales. The week's big movie review, movie news, trivia, games, and prizes. All on the KSL Movie Show. Here's Doug Wright.
This is a man. A handsome.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
The Movie Show in its infamous second hour. And we've got a lot to talk about, more movies to get into. We're going to do the Movie Show Top 10 in this hour, the moment that thousands, tens of hundreds of thousands.
I think eight.
Eight
is
people
the number you're looking
look
for.
Forward to each and every week. And since we don't have, you know, traditional movie releases going on right now, at least
well,
the way we once
do,
knew it, it's beginning. But so, you know, we don't have the typical top 10 big box office numbers is the point that I'm trying to make.
Well,
so
I'll tell you, if anybody's going to make it happen, it's going to be Megaplex.
It's going to be the Megaplex Theaters, which is the grand entrance of the big poobah of marketing for the Megaplex Theaters, who is Jeff Whipple, who has graced us with his appearance on the Movie Show today. Jeff, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me on the show, fellas.
Well, I'll tell you, I wish we were there. We had so much fun, you know, a month or so. What was it?
About a month ago.
About a month ago when we hung out at the District and talked about the cool things that you guys are doing. And from day one, you know, once the world kind of changed at the beginning of COVID, it's been interesting to watch how the Megaplex theaters have really, really, you know, looked for every avenue possible to take care of your patrons, take care of your fans, take care of moviegoers. And you've done some really innovative things. And we wanted just a little update. Now, the most important thing that we have to ask you about today is
going to ask about
the Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh, Gordon.
Yeah, the Gordon Lightfoot. I've got to arrange it so I can bring my son to that. Which theater is the Lightfoot documentary showing in?
If I could only read your mind. Sorry,
yes.
Or
sit down, young stranger, and I'll tell you. Yeah, that's right.
We have it playing at the District and at Thanksgiving Point and at Legacy Crossing, and we will expand it as demand increases for that film. It is getting tremendous play and wonderful reviews. So I think people are going to love that film. And to that point, Megaplex Theaters is open, and we've got new films available.
Yeah.
So everywhere I go, people ask, when are you guys opening? We are. Poppers are popping.
Yeah.
We've got movies on the big screen, and we're ready, and we're doing it safely, which is the biggest thing.
I know when we chatted earlier on with you and Blake, and we talked about, at first it was kind of the greatest hits. You know, we were showing incredible
things.
Every
week they have new classics.
Oh, it was just the classic movies, and people have been thrilled, you know, because we forget, you know, those of us that had the opportunity to see Indiana Jones on the big screen and see Jurassic Park on the big screen. There are there's a generation and a half now almost that has never had that opportunity. And so those have been big hits. And what are some of the other big hits that you've had? You mentioned some of the newer things that are out. What are people flocking to besides Gord, of course?
Oh, my goodness. Jurassic World, Goonies continues to play extremely well. People love that.
Goonies, yes.
It's just extraordinary what's happening there. We are bringing back Empire Strikes Back this week. A real limited engagement, but you know, our friends at Disney, and they are our friends at Disney, are helping us out there. We've got 1917 making a comeback, some of the Harry Potter series. We've got The Breakfast Club and Space Jam and Gremlins. Edge of Tomorrow, which is Live, Die, Repeat, for those that don't remember that one. We've got The Blind Side and The Burbs and the Back to the Future trilogy and The Heart of Africa. There's just a great selection, and we're like the old days in radio. We're taking requests. We've had a ton of people reply via our social media channels asking for films. Hey, can you get this? And some of them are on moratorium, and they've got studio contracts and restrictions that way. But we get it, and we're tracking them down. And our Larry is doing a heroic job of getting these great films in. Plus, we're showing new film content, which amazingly are some of these films that frankly get lost in the shadows of these monster blockbusters. And we've known that for some time. We've talked about it for years, that some of these films, the smaller films, really do deserve a bigger play. And right now we're able to do that. We've seen some great results with a film like Gordon Lightfoot, a documentary on a big screen. There are great stories out there, and they play beautifully at Megaplex.
You know, it has really been exciting to see what you guys are doing and then to have these opportunities. And, I hope that people are kind of getting hooked on being able to see the things that maybe they've seen on the home, maybe on VHS back in the day, DVD, and now, with streaming on their screen at home. But to be able to see it in one of the Megaplex theaters with the incredible screens and the sound and everything else.
Well, consider also the fact that Made in Italy, the movie that we reviewed at the top of the show, is playing at Megaplex right now.
Right, right.
Along with Burnt Orange Heresy. And there's a Johnny Depp movie.
These are big movies with big stars in them, and to be able to see them on the big screen.
Yeah, that film Becky with Kevin James, and if you look at that movie poster, that's not the King of Queens.
That's the creepiest Kevin James I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And with apologies to Tim Hughes, frankly, the IMAX screen at Jordan Commons is probably as big as you're going to get. It's, I think, 100 feet diagonal, which is 1,200 diagonal inches, is how you measure televisions, I think. Our projection system and our furniture is pretty good.
I think that is bigger than Tim's screen. Yeah. I will have to grant
you. No measure. Love Tim.
That's right. Hey, we've got to talk about some of the things that are coming up. It looks like Disney's been sitting on Mulan so far, so long, and has had so many postponement dates and everything else that September 4th seems to be the date, but it's going to be streamed and in theaters. But maybe you can explain it. Are we interpreting it correctly? If it's on Disney Plus, will it be in theaters that where there's a Disney Plus market?
That's how we understand it. We're continuing to have those conversations. A great relationship with Disney and our other studio partners. Everyone's trying to figure it out. Warner Brothers with Tenet has figured out that they can identify individual markets in the U.S. similar to what studios have been doing internationally, which is if you're okay to open your theaters on a limited basis with all the all the restrictions in place, all the capacity limits, all the safety measures in place, then you're good to go. And that's what they're doing with Tenet. Disney hasn't gone there yet because, frankly, California and New York and New Jersey and some big movie markets here in the U.S. are still struggling, and we totally understand that. But where possible, films are opening, and thankfully, the Disney pipeline is frankly its own traffic jam. They've still got movies, and they aren't pushing everything to Disney Plus. They've been very selective, so we still have Black Widow in the pipeline. We still have Soul in the pipeline coming to Megaplex later this year. Plus dates going on into 2021 and 2022. The movie experience is still available for people. And we are thrilled with the support we've had so far. We just we want everyone to be so careful right now.
Speaking of Tenet, now did I read this morning that they are committed to IMAX? Is that coming up in the next month or so?
Yeah, I believe so. And we've got Interstellar scheduled for later this month coming up as well. So Tenet, I think, is coming into IMAX. I'll have to double-check that. But and the website and our social media channels will have all that confirmed. But and we're watching to see when we can put tickets on sale. We've got capacity limits. We're enforcing the social distancing. I mean, we've got over 40,000 seats across 185 screens. 16 locations from Logan to St. George and into Mesquite, Nevada. And we're capping it at 50 people per auditorium. And we're giving away free movie tickets during the month of August.
You know, I got your little text on that, and that's a pretty cool thing. So for Megaplex fans who are kind of part of the club, as it were, you're giving away tickets.
Yeah, you can actually join today. Register for the My Mega Rewards loyalty program with Megaplex Theaters, and we will put in your account immediately a free luxury ticket and a free traditional reserve seat ticket for you to use as you want. For you and anyone else who's registered in the program. And again, same rules apply. The new films, the classics, anything that's playing for the month of August is valid if you're a member of the My Mega Rewards loyalty program.
Yeah, it's really cool. This is such a strange, bizarre time. And as you rightfully pointed out, it's still a time to be so, so careful. We don't want to go crazy and make things worse here, but we also want to open up to whatever degree we can safely. And boy, hats off to Megaplex. You guys have really thought this through. You've rolled with the punches. You've gone with it and, you know, made so many things available to moviegoers in such a safe fashion. And we're just really pleased to be partners with you guys. We've loved the relationship over the years. And do keep us in the loop, won't you? Because everywhere I go, I'm asked about this. Hey, what about this particular movie? What about this particular movie? And keep us in the loop. And everything, I'm assuming, we can go to MegaplexTheaters.com and get the latest information right there.
Absolutely. And we are so thrilled. We have the best guests in the world. They're the ones that make it possible. And we so appreciate the steps that they're willing to take to keep us going. We love the ability to create the jobs, to keep people employed, to keep this experience possible for people. We want to be smart. We want to be safe. And love the fact that we get to connect with you guys doing this. Thanks for everything you do for us.
Well, now if I can just get him to get the Gord, you know, documentary at a theater more convenient to me here in Cottonwood.
We'll run up a copy.
Okay.
I have to drive how far?
Yes. Uh-huh. Jeff, hey, thanks so much. Give our best to everybody there. Say hi to Blake for us, okay?
Will do. Take care, guys.
Jeff Whipple, Jeff, who is the big marketing kahuna at the Megaplex
Theaters. I'm excited that Warner Brothers' Tenet is still hanging in there.
Yeah.
They're going to... by hook or by crook, they're going to make it into the theaters because that's the way Christopher Nolan wants it seen.
Oh, man, and I'll tell you.
If that thing's going to be on the IMAX.
You know, you forget. You know, one of the problems that I had with the orange, whatever it is, burnt orange heresy, was the sound. You know, I mean, and obviously I could do some stuff about that. I could buy better speakers and so on. But I don't want to watch movies on my computer.
How about that villa at Lake Como?
Oh,
that
yeah.
Little summer cottage of Mick Jagger's.
I would, and Mick Jagger in this movie.
He's
a trip. He is such a trip. But this is a movie that you really want to see on the big screen. And I think one of the reasons that I need to see it again is because it was on the small screen and you just miss a whole lot, especially when something was made. If it was made for TV, okay.
Yeah.
But when it's made to be on the big screen and then they kind of jam it down, it's... Anyway, we're spoiled rotten.
Poor Dougie.
I know. Uh-huh. All right, let's take a brief respite. When we come back, which of the other movies would you like to review, Stephen?
Well, Rogue Warfare is hilarious.
Okay, that's coming up next here on The Movie Show at KSL News Radio.
The Movie Show.
You could just write your own roles, you know, write something that's as interesting as you are.
What are you going to do?
I have my own club.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It is The Movie Show at KSL News Radio. Already we have reviewed Made in Italy. We've run through the movie news. We've talked with our friends at the Megaplex theaters to kind of try to get the skinny on what's happening with the big movie releases and what theaters are doing in the meantime. And we need to review a little film right now. And you mentioned Rogue Warfare,
The Hunt.
Okay, let's get a little sound on
This will be quick.
Okay.
We've tracked down what we believe is the current location for the Black Masks. During the raid, we found credible intel of a location.
And you think that they're holding Daniel at this location?
My gut says yes.
Commander, if you feel a degree of certainty that this is where they're holding Daniel, then you have my approval.
Bring our man home.
Is this supposed to be funny?
It isn't supposed to be funny, but it kind of is.
Yeah.
That was Stephen Lang.
Who's Daniel?
Daniel is Wilhelm Lee.
I always think of Mr. Rogers' little lion puppet.
Oh,
little Daniel.
Well, poor Daniel. He's been You know, they went on a raid and he got captured.
Yeah.
And they've been holding him in this little. I didn't know they had a cyclone fence in the Middle East, but oh, what the heck! So he's got this little. They put a dog cage together and he's in it. You know, and all he does through the whole movie is like, ah.
That's it, huh?
And they're all looking for him, but every scene is like in a tent, so the budget couldn't be any lower. And you have a few guys that you kind of recognize, and Stephen Lang is the president. And that's there's two scenes he's in, one where he's walking a horse and he says, "We need to do this," and then another scene's like, "We need to get our men back," and that's it. The rest of it is the Black Mask is this this very mean Taliban guy, and he and his little henchmen, they spend half the movie talking about, "We need to teach America that they are doing everything wrong. We are the freedom fighters. They are the aggressors here." And they go on for
so the Taliban related to Ricardo Montalban?
Yes. Yeah. They have all their trucks are with fine Corinthian leather.
They're all Spanish.
No. I don't know why I'm doing that. But they're just, it's so bad that I'm like, how do you screw up a movie where the whole plot of the movie is to rescue one poor guy.
Daniel,
who's stuck in a dog cage. And, there's this Russian lady, like, I can find him if you let me use my secret software. Oh, that's illegal.
I thought you were going to say secret sauce.
Secret sauce software. And like, oh, no, we can't do that. That's illegal. In 5 minutes, she finds where he's been. And the whole movie, they've been like, where could he be? Oh.
Natasha was able to find him in just a couple of minutes.
Natasha and the squirrel.
Boris.
Boris Badenov. It might be the best unintended military comedy.
Really?
It's just so bad.
Well, this sounds like Mystery Science Theater 3000 stuff.
No, it's horrible. It is just ridiculous.
Now, how can I watch this,
Jim? You can see this on, I think, Netflix? Hold on.
Netflix.
It's number 9 in their top 10, I think.
Oh, wow. Well, we'll be doing the top 10 here in a couple of minutes.
Oh, no. It's no longer on the top 10.
Oh, no. I can't imagine.
That's a shocker.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I watched that thing for nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in their top 10, but now it's just Rogue Warfare, The Hunt. It's on Netflix, but you might have to search for it.
So, Steve, do they ever get Daniel?
I'm not going to tell you that.
You're going to make me watch this?
I'm going to ruin the movie like you would normally.
Well, who told me what happened to Jamie on Yellowstone?
Okay, that was almost a midnight text that I sent you. I thought, there's no way he would have waited this long.
I have to tell you this. Okay, so I'm just savoring it, because,
read more into
I've been doing a lot of midnight painting over at my son's house and different things, and we've got projects going.
Yeah, you're gonna make me
feel anyway,
bad.
So I got home really late, and I thought,
that text was meant for your wife.
And so I thought, okay, I can watch Yellowstone. And so I was just catching up. So I'm sitting down, and I'm just waiting for Yellowstone to start. And Steve sends this text that has all this crap about Gone with the Wind and stuff. By the way, Jamie. And I go, what? At first, I didn't get it. And then, because it was so out of.
My wife said, who are you talking about?
I know. And then finally, I went, oh, no. Really? I hadn't watched it yet.
I hate that. I'm so sorry. It was like 11 o'clock when I sent that, or 10:30.
Yeah? And?
It comes on at 7.
And by the way, Bruce Willis is dead.
And I watched it at 9:30.
In The Sixth Sense.
So I figured you were way, and I didn't realize.
That's why the kids seem dead people.
Hates that show. And that you love it twice as much as she hates it.
Who hates it?
Your wife.
Oh, she don't watch it at all with me.
Yeah. She says, I'm not watching the show.
Really?
But she says you love it twice as
I
much
do.
As she
I love watching Yellowstone.
Oh, I figured. I knew you did.
I'm totally hooked.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm sorry. I did not mean to.
After the big reveal, too, that Jeff Whipple thinks his IMAX screen is bigger than Tim Hume, you know, uses home video.
You know. I think we're pretty safe.
I think he wins, yeah.
We're going to send out official measurement people, you know, from the government to determine whether that's true or not.
That should take 6 months.
It is. That'll take a long time and $5 million. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the movie show. Do you think Kelly's going to be able to handle
this? She might want to put your mask back on.
The movie show top 10. Is that Dagmar or you?
That's Dax.
You know, you totally blew the movie show top 10. I was geared up. I've been practicing all week.
Stay in your groove there, dude.
Stay in the groove? Well, when I have somebody start howling over there. All right, it is time for the movie show top 10, sponsored precariously by our friends at Call Climate Services. Okay.
I bet he's a busy boy right now.
Oh, boy, no kidding. You know, I was telling you, I've been over helping, you know, Ian, you know, with his basement. We've been painting and really remodeling. And, boy, Scott Call, he came out and helped us, you know, move some pipelines and everything else. And, yeah, what a great guy. Yeah. All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the movie show top 10.
Are we doing the Netflix top 10 or what?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we are. We haven't much more to do here. Number 10 is Latte and the Magic Water Stone. Are we reviewing that today?
We are, and we can do it here or we can wait.
Well, why don't we wait? All right. You know, I don't want to take anything away from the majesty.
We'll do it at 11:59.
And the magic, yeah, when it really counts. So, but you've seen this?
I have.
Uh-huh. And just a
quick
preview.
You know, remember we mentioned Animal Crackers the week before,
yeah.
And I wondered with it, I watched that too.
Yeah.
That one I needed my eyes gouged out. This one was at least a little cuter.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Latte and the Magic Water Stone. We'll tell you more about it.
Yeah.
Number 9, Dennis the Menace. What the heck is this?
This is the 93 Walter Matthau.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know where they pull these things out
of. I know.
They're
just resurrected, and all of a sudden they end up on the top 10 list of Netflix.
I got a feeling that somebody's jury-rigging these.
Does that mean that 14 people watched it instead of 13?
I don't know how they can pull that out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 8 is The Last Dance.
This is the Michael Jordan, the Chicago Bulls.
Right.
Doing the last dance on the
Last
Utah
Dance
Jazz.
On Us. Yeah.
That was painful.
Whatever. Number 7, Sugar Rush Extra Sweet.
This is like one of those baking shows, except it's these people really know what they're doing, and they have different categories like cupcakes, cakes, and whatever.
Okay.
I mean, if you're into sweets.
Every day I come up, you know, when I've been out working in the yard, and Dee is watching the cooking channels.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, she might want to check this one
the
out.
The Pioneer
Although
Woman.
It's kind of more artsy sugar desserty stuff.
Artsy?
Yeah. Fancy flowery things.
Fancy flowery thing. But you're making this sound better by the minute.
Yeah.
Okay, number 6 is Immigration Nation.
This is
a documentary, isn't it?
It's a 6-part series. The thing that's amazing about this is they have access to ICE, you know, the immigration and custody or whatever the heck they're called. But they are embedded with them, and they talk to these people direct. There's moments in this movie like I can't believe they said that out loud. Like, you know, when they go to look for somebody, and now it's open season for anybody who's an illegal. You don't even have to commit a crime. Under the Trump administration, if you're an illegal, you're going home. They're going to find you, and they have collaterals. Where if they go and find, you know, the guy they're looking for, but he's in an apartment with 6 other guys, they take them all in.
You're all gone.
And one guy, and it's like, yeah, I work for the ICE, but I'm not doing the collateral thing. To me, that's just wrong.
Wow.
So this is, if you want to get into immigration, this does it as well as anything I have seen so far. And the first one was about separating families. Oh, rip your heart right out.
Wow, Immigration Nation, number 6.
It is really good stuff.
Okay. Number five, you know, we were talking with Jeff Whipple about this, Jurassic Park on Netflix, and Jeff was saying it's killing it on the big screen, too, and, you know, these classics are, you know, they're always good.
Yeah.
And isn't it amazing, with all of the technology advances, especially in special effects and everything else that we've had, these 20, 25, 30-year-old movies, they're holding up well.
If they're well done, they do.
Oh, and many of these movies, too, they were breaking ground at the time.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they were considered to be light years ahead of anything else back in the 90s.
When you saw that dinosaur go up into the eucalyptus trees, and I audibly gasped.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, how do they do that?
We all felt like Sam Neill felt
and
Laura Dern felt. Like you didn't even know what to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so incredible.
That was a great moment.
All right, number four, Malibu Rescue, The Next Wave.
Well, think of this as Baywatch, the junior varsity, and but worse.
Do they have the slow-mo running scenes and the whole deal in this?
No, these are all kids. These are juniors.
These are kids.
We're not going to run them across the beach.
So these are the cadets.
Yeah, these are the wannabes, and this is actually the second movie. They did one a couple years ago, and it's pretty bad.
Okay. The World's Most Wanted is number three.
This is also pretty interesting. El Chapo, remember?
El Chapo.
But the guy you never hear about is El Mayo. He was the boss of El Chapo, who was low-key. Nobody ever knew anything, no pictures hardly at all, where Chapo was like, hey, yeah, we're selling drugs today. Come on over. Mayo was the guy that they really want, and they've been after him. And so this is actually pretty good, too. This is The World's Most Wanted.
I forget, you know, every time I hear Chapo, I think of El Guapo.
El Guapo. And,
it's amazing. Okay.
He was as goofy as El Guapo, too.
Yeah. Number two is Shameless.
Now, I don't get what they're doing here, because it's a Showtime show, and they're showing old episodes. There's nothing new that's come out, but it is brilliant, but it's rough. I mean, if you've watched it, William H. Macy and Emily Ross and all these characters, they've grown up over 8 to 10 seasons, and it's just brilliant.
Okay.
But they're a rough crowd.
Shameless. And then the number one movie on Netflix right now is The Umbrella Academy.
This is a series. This is the second season, and it's about these kids that are all born on the same day and have some kind of interesting superpower, and they end up living together. They have a rich uncle who's, you know, their dad, so to speak.
Right.
And he brings them all together and tries to – I've only watched a couple episodes. It looks kind of interesting. It's sort of cool teens with superpowers, and there's a dark edge to this. I mean, the one kid that can time travel, he goes into the future and sees all of his friends dead, and he's trying to figure out, ooh, how do we stop this from happening? So there's a cool element to this, The Umbrella Academy.
Okay. The movie show top 10. The movie show top 10.
All choked up, are we?
It's allergies. It really is. You know, don't you hate it when you have a sneeze or anything like that at this time? You don't want people to think you're the purveyor of the fine COVID. But, oh, man, August and allergies for me. I'm not devastated by it, but, oh, man.
It's irritating and it's annoying.
It kind of kicks my hind end at this time of year. So,
sorry.
Anyway. All right.
You drank real Coke instead of Diet Coke.
No, Diet Coke is the cure. It is the cure. Huh? Yes. That's right.
Yeah, see, she's appropriate. This is a lady drinking Diet Coke.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how that works.
See, I'm ahead.
Men drink Coke Zero.
Men drink Coke Zero.
Have we not told you this before?
Oh, my goodness. Listen to this.
Talk about umbrellas in a drink right there.
Okay, let's take a brief respite while I beat up Steve, and we'll be right back with more of the movie show here at KSL News Radio.
Planning on a weekend of binge-watching? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Doug and Steve sort through it all, so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
Okay, so we binged, and we actually did a QPW on this a while back. It's called Beecham House, and it's about this guy kind of in the Revolutionary War period, but it was over in India. In India. And you know, this is kind of when the British rule was just kind of coming on. The French were really concerned about it, and there's this guy. And so we binged, you know, and just watched that, and we get to the last episode. It's this great cliffhanger. Now there's this big question on whether or not it's going to be continued.
No.
And you go, no.
You know, that's the worst.
I know.
Take a series two of the cliff and then just drop.
So we're wondering if we basically are going to always wonder what happened on Beecham House. Okay, so, or whatever it was called. Okay, so the streaming news, just backing up here. All 8 Harry Potter movies are hitting Peacock in October after leaving HBO, and those 8 films will be there. And Harry Potter films have averaged, on the big screen, they grossed an average of $900 million per movie. And this is back before it was really popular to be hitting $1 billion. So, yeah, you know, I mean,
not that it's still not popular.
Yeah, but now we kind of sit back, oh, it didn't quite hit $1 billion, you know.
And yeah, but what about $2 billion?
So it's interesting. The question is, how did Peacock manage to snag the iconic movie so quickly after they dropped on HBO Max? And apparently,
money.
Yeah, according to a report from The Wrap, they acquired the exclusive on-air right and digital rights to the Warner Brothers produced Harry Potter films and then the yet-to-be-released Fantastic Beasts movies as part of the landmark deal. So anyway, they had the movie rights, but they allowed this particular deal because of the Peacock launch in July, which was kind of a, you know, what a weird time to launch. So there was a little schmoozing and grooving in the back. And
I got one for you.
Money ultimately makes the
Antebellum,
deal.
That Antebellum, horror movie?
Yeah.
Is that on your list?
No.
It's going to open video on demand.
Yeah,
it's
really?
Skipping theaters. I didn't have a firm date, but it's got to be within a month or so.
Wow.
Which ticks me off. Then Lovecraft Country. Have you seen this?
No.
It's a Jordan Peele show, and it looks so interesting. It like follows a couple and they end up going off in different directions, different dimensions. It's sci-fi and war and I mean, great cast. Courtney B. Vance is in it, a bunch of people. Jordan Peele, I mean, yeah. That instantly got my attention.
Right.
And it's called Lovecraft Country. Opens on HBO on August 16th.
August 16th?
Yeah.
Next week?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. In a decision completely independent from, but very coincidental, to the release of Netflix musical comedy Eurovision Song Contest, the story of the Fire Saga. We talked about this.
By the way, Academy Award winning original song will be My Hometown from Eurovision. It is the best song ever.
We're getting an American version of this. We had talked about this a little bit before.
Yeah.
But it's TV producer extraordinaire Ben Silverman announced that the American Song Contest will be coming to American television 2021's holiday season. Eurovision pits each country's national song, not their national anthem, but their selected song, against each other to be crowned the best song in Europe. The American version will pit the states against each other. So can't you just see we're up there, Utah, we love thee. And what do you think? Or Utah, you betcha. Remember that song came out during the
somebody
centennial?
Somebody called Donnie. Let's get a song going.
Yeah, I know. We'll have it. Gord maybe could. Maybe Gord could write the Utah song.
He's Canadian.
Song. Well, that's okay. He can defect. So, I know Canada would, that'd be all out war.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be blood all over that maple leaf.
It would be blood there. So, anyway, we're getting our own version of Eurovision. And
well, I guess it's about
American
time.
TV.
I mean, they've been doing this since the 50s.
Yeah, 60 years, isn't it? Something like that.
1956 they started, and this is the only year that they haven't.
Yeah,
I mean, even in war.
Yeah, 60-year running tradition in Europe.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
okay.
This is the one year, the first year they didn't have it, but the movie.
Yeah. The movie kind of made up for it.
It's actually pretty good.
It is actually pretty good. Okay, so we all love A League of Their Own, right?
I mean,
that is just a wonderful, wonderful movie. Amazon has greenlit the long-in-development series adaptation of A League of Their Own based on the 1992 Penny Marshall film. Will Graham said that 28 years ago, Penny Marshall told us a story about women playing professional baseball that up until then had been largely overlooked. We grew up obsessed with the film like everyone else. 3 years ago, we approached Sony with the idea of telling a new, still overlooked set of those stories. And an enormously talented team of collaborators and everybody getting back together to bring these characters to life.
I kind of like this idea because there's
too.
A lot of individual stories in that
show. Can you imagine? I mean, with all of the different teams, we focused kind of on the Peaches.
Right.
And
Dottie Henson and her little sister.
Exactly. And, and that scene where they're all back at the Hall of Fame. And,
yes.
And the son of the one, the little bratty kid. You know, there's the no crying in baseball woman, her son.
Stedman.
Oh. So it'll be interesting to see.
He's a creepy little kid. But.
There's no timeline for the hour-long series at this point. But we'll get a first look at the stars and so on, and different little things will be dribbling out on this.
It's baseball, I'm in.
You are. That sounds pretty cool. Anything else to add to the streamlining news here?
I think I'm good.
Well, then how about if we review the little film alluded to, Latte and the Magic Water Stone, and let's ask Gustavo if he'll hit the button on that one.
A tiny hedgehog and a squirrel are going to get the magic water stone from King Banter.
The stone is mine!
Is there maybe a plan B?
That sounded like you when you do the stone is mine.
The stone is mine. He's a big, cranky bear.
A bear.
Apparently they've blocked the
this
water.
This isn't Norm of the North, is it?
No.
No.
No, this
he
is
was
better.
A bear.
This is definitely better than Norm of the North.
Okay.
Cute little hedgehog and his squirrely little squirrel friend. Little village, they're in the meadow and all the water's dried up. What's going on here? Well, it turns out some creepy crow comes in and he says, "Hey, it's the magic water stone. And if we can get that back, everyone will be saved."
Saved?
Shaved.
Shaved.
Shaved. So the hedgehog, "Well, I'll do it." And the squirrel goes, "What are you, nuts? You can't do it."
You know, when I was a kid, I didn't even know what a hedgehog was. And now they're everywhere. Yeah. Everybody loves hedgehogs.
They're a big deal now.
Big deal.
They're hot.
Okay.
So they go, and they're in trouble. There's the bobcats, the lynxes, there's wolves. The wolves, I thought that was weird because they're like, they had them. Like, "Oh, we're going to eat you. Wait, you're going to get the water stone? Okay, go. And we'll laugh at you later. Well, how about we eat them now, and then you can laugh at them?" No. So they get through all these little weird little things, and they're going to mess with the bears. And the bear, the king bear's son sympathizes with the nice little, and he's going to help them.
Of course. The king bear.
The king bear's little bear.
Okay.
Little bear is going to help him. So it's just cute. It's not anything, It's like this. I think the studio is like Blue Canyon, who knows.
Winnemucca Films.
Yeah, it's like, who are these people? Ah, who cares? It's a computer-generated little story about this cute little animal
Steve
trying
Sales
to save the day.
Says, it's cute.
It's much better than Norm of the North, I'll give you that.
Okay. Rated G or PG?
PG, I think.
PG, all right. So,
it's a Netflixer, is it? Or
Netflixer, what's the grade?
Oh, I get, it's a C+.
It's a C+ film?
Yeah. Better than average.
Better than average and better than Norm of the North.
A lot better than Norm of the North.
That says quite a bit. All right, we're coming up on the top of the hour. By the way, we just got this text a second ago. We were talking about the eight amazing listeners who look forward to the movie show Top 10 every week. A texter on the Utah Community Credit Union KSL text line at 57500 said, "We need a dedicated documentary just to figure out who those eight people, those movie show listeners are."
Are they suggesting we're exaggerating the number?
Maybe. we don't
think you can find eight actual
people. Can't you imagine the documentary on the movie show? It'd be, 4 minutes long?
Some guy in his PJs.
That would be in depth.
That'd be one.
And then we'd get the director's cut, which would be 7 minutes long.
Yeah, I just don't see any.
Pretty exciting stuff.
Netflix will be all over it.
Netflix will be all over, or NoFlix will be all over it. All right, let's take a brief respite. We will be right back with QPW, the quarantine picks of the week.
Are we that late already?
That's where the show classes up considerably, and Deanne joins us.
We're going to dance. She called me names.
Well, Big Baby, and you were about, gone with the wind.
Yeah.
Whining what, about, you know.
Where's Nick when I need him?
Yeah,
he'll
Nick.
He'll back me up on this terrible movie.
It's the official quarantine pick of the week on the KSL Movie Show.
Yes. I'm just sitting here listening to this great music. And Gustavo finally just said, are you guys there?
Oh.
But we're eating scones.
We were talking about that amazing film, Gone with the Wind.
Okay. All right. Dee is joining us now, who is the ultimate authority.
Yeah. And I want to.
Hello.
Hello.
Whoops.
Hello.
I want to apologize for call. I didn't mean to call you a name. I meant like cute big baby.
Do you think Steve is a cute big baby? I'm picturing looking like Baby Herman with a cigar going, what's going on here?
That's so weird.
Maybe we should separate you two because it's just going to be a gang fight.
It's not fair. No.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know we were going to be name calling in the middle of all
that.
Well,
it was endearing.
And then he picked up like, oh, yeah, you're a baby. And then hid behind your skirts like some little, like, okay. Seriously, I mean, that was agony.
It's not everybody's cup of tea.
It is definitely not my cup of tea.
And I don't want to watch it every day, you know.
Okay,
that would be all you'd be doing.
What our listeners have plopped into here is the QPW. So let's play the opening so we can have a little dignity.
Right. Let's get the sneeze in there.
Here we go.
Let's get formal.
It's the official quarantine pick of the week on the KSL Movie Show.
Okay, so what you have fallen into here is this ongoing conversation.
Family feud.
That the man who allegedly is a film critic had never actually seen...
Sat through the hole.
Gone with the Wind.
In one sitting.
And claimed to have experienced it in its totality by watching little snippets, you know, here and there.
I missed a lot. I had missed a lot.
Give him credit. Give him credit.
I thought, for example, like the Sherman March where they burned everything, I thought that was at the end of the movie. That's only halfway through.
Well, you know, when they go to intermission, it's right after the burning and then they're heading back to Terra.
Well, it set it up, too. There was the challenge that I had never seen all of Titanic.
Right.
And felt that, like I knew the story, you know, you kind of know how it ends. But I'll say the same thing. There were a lot of holes that were bridged by sitting down and watching it, which we did together.
When we watched,
that was the challenge. Yeah. I watched Gone with the Wind, you watched Titanic.
Titanic. Right.
I feel like I got the worst end of that deal.
Oh, you know, Gone with the Wind is the greatest film ever made. It truly is.
Oh, I can't even begin to tell you where there's a 5.5 minutes of that movie. I could show you where to edit this thing. 5.5 minutes of song, nothing except overture, and they're doing the opening credits. I timed it. 5.5 minutes.
So ironic you say that, because when we were watching Titanic, I said what? I said running up on the ship, we could pull out a whole bunch of that. You know, they run for a long time.
But see,
and
Steve,
then they come back and run some more.
And people do this, so this isn't new. But we're judging a 1939 movie by 21st century.
I got another one for you.
Yes.
Prissy. I didn't realize. I knew she said, I don't know nothing about birth and no babies. But literally 5 minutes earlier, she tells the doctor, oh, I've birthed lots of babies.
Oh, I know. Well, that's the thing.
Shit.
She's nuts.
But it was but again, if you know anything about Butterfly McQueen, she is incredible. She was a pioneering actress.
And we watched a really fun documentary on her just a couple of days ago rolled up Butterfly
McQueen. Girl that played
Prissy.
Her voice was so high, it was annoying.
Exactly.
And she had quite an illustrious film career.
She really did.
In the 30s, 30s and 40s.
And afterwards, because of these...
I would have never hired her again.
She broke ground for so many other black actresses, and they were all resoundingly criticized at the time by the more progressive wings of, like, the NAACP and... You know, things of that nature. But, you know, everybody from Bill Robinson to, I mean, any black actor.
But even she became disillusioned and pretty much left it.
Well, and it's because as she went on, though, they kept putting her in those exact same roles.
Yeah. It was one thing
in 1939. Then it was one thing maybe in 1946. But in the 1950s, you're still having you do
the maid,
the traditional stuff and those stereotypical roles. But if it wasn't for those actresses and actors back then who took those roles, broke ground, won Academy Awards,
and
like
she
Hattie
would not
McDaniel.
Let she would not let be slapped in that scene in this documentary. We said
well, she did say that I'm gonna take a strap to Prissy. She's driving me nuts.
Yeah, but she got a slap, but I think she would not allow herself to be physically slapped in that scene. They you know did the
here's the other thing that drove me nuts. Red, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. Wait, Ashley, you don't like me. Red, come back.
And we see that in movies today.
Are you kidding me?
We see that
Three
in movies
hours,
today.
And then she goes, oh, wait
okay.
a minute, I made a mistake.
You know what? We
frankly,
can't.
Scarlett.
You know,
TC's like.
TCM did the best presentation on this, and they talked about how groundbreaking it was. They talked about the incredible techniques, the Technicolor, which was just
unbelievable. Cinematography was
beautiful.
Pretty amazing.
It was beautiful.
And the staging and the special effects.
That whole field of soldiers injured.
Right.
Oh, and courtyard.
I know.
Oh. You can't fake that.
That's
it is.
Right.
It is kind of magnificent. You have to admit that when you watch it, it's you know those scenes are stunning.
I get why people would like it, but man, I was like.
But again, it's one of those films that when you're used to 21st century cuts, when you're used to 21st century techniques,
timing.
You know, we used to call it the MTV cuts. Any scene on the screen more than 7 seconds, and you know the younger folks just tune out. And, you know, so if you judge it by today's standards, you know, it really is. It's very long. There are editing.
Slow.
But it is an incredible, just incredible movie. And no movie has ever made as much money as that has, you know, just for inflation.
And you know, on our
else.
Post where we kind of juxtaposition the two movies, and granted, in social media, people tend to follow like-minded people, but Gone with the Wind is, man, it's got the diehards.
Yeah.
You know it
oh,
does.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I mean, people were going,
literally
I can't.
Best film ever made. Please don't make me watch it again.
Okay. All right. I think we've killed that one. Okay.
We've killed that one. Okay. And then Titanic. We watched that.
We watched Titanic. I enjoyed it. I'm glad I watched the whole thing altogether. I thought I'd seen it all. Just like you said, I saw scenes. I'd say to Doug, well, I didn't know that they did that.
Well, it's interesting, too, you know, when you watch a film like that. And then, you know, Dee was pointing out where she had. Did you read something or was it on TV where the filmmakers looking back at it?
Oh, no. I just heard a release recently that they were going to do a documentary on things they would change on the Titanic. Because things they got wrong, because there have been more scientific.
James Cameron's a freak for getting it right.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was on
the stars. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was funny. Where like the constellation was wrong.
Oh my gosh! Well,
yeah, that was like
you've ruined it.
Yeah,
but it was still so relatively new, based on Ballard's discoveries and those submarines that went in. Well, the technology now and what we know now, and so that'll be interesting to see. So what else did we watch?
So after we just beat that all the way to death.
And everybody's going, shoot me.
We had watched another oldie that we strolled across.
Lord
was
Scott, I can't listen to the movie show no more.
I'm starting to feel that way myself. We watched Sabrina, the new Sabrina.
Oh, no. There you go.
And then we jumped back and watched the old one because we were wanting to do double features all the way.
Yep.
So. Well, see, after I saw the movie we saw this week Made in Italy, I want to go back and see Under the Tuscan Sun.
I agree with you. I agree with Doug.
You should
I'd like to see that.
I like that movie more than Dee does. You know,
Under the Tuscan Sun. Yeah, you probably do. I think that woman with
Diane
the ice cream is kind of silly. Yeah, and he loves Diane Lane, too. So,
Diane Lane.
I guess
she's okay with me.
Yeah. And then we did mention, I don't know if you talked about Wilford Brimley's passing, which was, sad.
We brought him up on Friday, and then he passed away on Saturday.
I know. Wilford Brimley, what a great character actor. And so what is your favorite Brimley movie?
Oh, I have to be The Natural.
The Natural. Yeah. I love him as Pop. And then when he's playing with Richard Farnsworth.
Yes.
Alongside those two guys down there. Oh, my goodness. But I also loved him in The Firm. The first time I really kind of noticed Wilford Brimley, I mean, he was in China Syndrome and so on. But I love The Electric Horseman. And remember, he's the old rancher who's got that great big old, diesel rig. And Robert Redford ends up knocking on his door wearing Jane Fonda's glasses because they're incognito and he wants to use the phone. And Wilford Brimley's just sitting there with a big chaw in his mouth and he comes out and he goes, Mr. Steele, I know you. And he offers to take him up over the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
And he does. And there's that famous line where, you know, he gets stopped by a cop, and they're offering a $50,000 reward. And when he gets out,
horseback.
You know, yeah, to get the horse back and to get Redford. And I'll never forget the line. I can't quote it exactly, but Redford's thanking him, you know, profusely. And he said, you know, there are not many people you can trust $50,000 worth. And Brimley, just with that classic thing, he goes, well, I better get up onto the mountain before I think about it. and he's just one of those great, great
actors. He kind of reminded me of Duvall in the later in subsequent years. Duvall has taken on that kind of crusty role,
yeah.
like he did in the Jack Reacher movie.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite performance by Wilford Brimley, though, was in a Utah Woolen Mills commercial. that is such a great story.
Well, I just did a podcast with Don Porter and Mark Saul from the Standard Examiner.
Oh, Don's got some good stories about him. He's the hardest interview ever, right?
He did. And I told him about the woolen. I said, maybe you want to talk to Doug about this, but I can't wait. I'm just going to tell you the Woolen Mills story now. And I told him they'd laugh there.
Yeah. He was a curmudgeon, to say the least. Make it work.
Well, I don't know how your timing is. Do you want to wrap up the QPW?
No, we're good.
Okay. Well, we did wrap up the week by, we caught actually two of the streaming movies. One we didn't talk about because we didn't love it so much, The High Note. We went back and
I wasn't a big fan of that movie.
Paid to watch that one. We wondered why. But I wanted to see, you know, Diana Ross's daughter singing type of thing. So, you know.
It had its moments.
The temptation was there.
It had its moments, but
the payoff.
And then we watched The Secret. You know,
you did.
We
caught up on that.
I like that.
That's a
sweet little movie.
It was a sweet movie, and I really enjoyed it. I think
it's kind of like a Hallmark movie with better icing.
Yeah,
you know, and it definitely was better acting.
Yeah. Oh,
and not so heavy-handed on the secret stuff. You know, I thought that was.
No, it was a little strung out getting to it. We're like, come on. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, the mother-in-law kind of annoyed me a little bit, but she kind of came around.
Yeah,
there were some really sweet, touching moments.
Yeah, the kids were fun. I thought Katie
Holmes
was amazing.
Is cute. She's too skinny, but she looked cute.
Yeah. Lucas was.
Josh people remember him from Sweet Home Alabama.
Or you might remember him from Yellowstone.
Oh, I didn't know he was.
That's right. He plays the younger version of Kevin Costner in that.
Which is weird because they're probably not that far different in age.
Yeah,
we'll
right.
put a mustache on him, and then
maybe 10 years. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So that was that incredible title, "The Secret: Dare to Dream." Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was it for us.
Okay. Yeah. And we've been getting some really good response.
Yeah, fun.
On the QPW,
and we've moved it over to also the Instagram, which is Doug Wright KSL. We're putting it on there. And then KSL's Doug Wright on Facebook.
So. And we love your comments, too.
The movie show.
You know, just and maybe things you'd recommend
you like my comment?
For us.
What have you done?
we're done with that. So.
Yeah.
we're going to move
put
on.
The
but don't
the
you feel like a better person now? And since you represent yourself to be a film critic, to have actually seen the greatest movie ever made?
Let's just say it changed me dramatically.
It changed. Well, not for the better, I'm afraid.
No, I'm glad I saw it.
And we'll watch Under the Tuscan Sun because Doug really likes it. And
I really
like it, too.
Movie.
I think everybody likes it.
Yeah,
it's a nice movie.
All right. On that note, let's take a brief break, and we will be right back with more of the movie show, more films to review. How about if we do Burnt Orange Heresy next?
We should.
Okay, that's coming up next. Stay with us.
The Movie Show.
I'm sorry, Tony.
If I see a situation pointed south, I can't ignore it. Sometimes I wish I could. Sometimes I want to punch you in your perfect teeth.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Okay, let's get a little soundbite. We're going to review the movie Burnt Orange Heresy. Here we go.
At the edge of my property, there's a dilapidated little house. In this house, there's an artist.
No critic has spoken to this guy in over 50 years.
Think of the splash it would make.
See and describe his current work.
No, no, no. I cannot abide such things.
Okay, now I have to tell you, I was really surprised. I've seen Mick Jagger just in some cameo appearances
before.
Yeah,
Alicia Fields. And
he was really quite good as this eclectic, very wealthy appreciator of art, as it were. And as you heard in the soundbite, He collects art. You know, they're going into his home, and they're going, you know, normally something like this would be the focal point of a museum, and here it's just hanging on the
behind
wall.
Behind a door.
In this home. You know, it's kind of like putting the Mona Lisa, you know, in the restroom
in
or
the
something.
Corner.
Yeah, in the corner. Baby in the corner. So it starts off with this art critic giving some instruction and bloviating on and on about this picture that he is showing, this painting. And then, you know, nobody really seems to appreciate it, and that's kind of the point that he's trying to make. But then he tells the story behind it, or is it the story behind it?
Yeah.
And it really kind of caught my attention. I have to admit, I was really kind of interested. And there was this young woman who was in the group, and you go, why is she there? And she's not playing the normal role. Well, she ends up being this person with a past herself, who is somehow, she's just decided, okay, I took a bad rap back home in Duluth, as it were, and so I'm going to basically pull it off in reality, which was kind of a strange thing, and just basically becomes a pretty loose, you know, wild and crazy woman.
Yeah.
And she hooks up with this guy, and, you know, it evolves to the point where they do go to this rich, eclectic person's house, who is played, again, by Mick Jagger, and he basically gives them an assignment to steal some art from this old artist who is played by Donald Sutherland.
Now, the story there is that he had painted like a dozen paintings before, but they all burned up.
Right.
And so he has this mystique about him.
Right.
That he's this incredible artist, but no one has seen any of his art.
And he hung up, after the fire, he hung up a frame.
Yeah.
With nothing in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's
a crack in the wall.
And there's a crack in the wall, and there's significance to that. And he's really kind of a fun, feisty, eclectic person.
Donald's cerebral.
Cerebral. And there's a real connection between him and especially this young woman that is with the art critic.
Yeah, Emily.
And so where this goes and what happens is so bizarre.
Is it Emily?
I can't remember the name. But it is so strange. It is so bizarre. There are so many just disturbing twists,
yeah,
too, in this one. And there are some points where you're going, man, if somebody treated me like that, I would not be around very long. And when I don't want to give away too much here, because when you watch the movie, you'll go, whoa, what's going on? And how it ultimately ends up. And when you think that maybe there is nothing left of a particular artist's creativity, where it shows up is amazing. And but is it valuable or not? Is it signed or not? That was intriguing. But I got to tell you, I've got to watch this movie again. And but now let's warn folks off too. This is rated R. And
well, there's a love scene early on.
Yeah, it's pretty sassy right on. But then that's kind of it.
Right.
So if that's what concerns you about a movie, It's right at the very beginning, and then the rest of it is just an intriguing art mystery tale that's,
yeah,
bizarre, and then it kind of ends up back with good old Mick Jagger, and wow.
Well, I saw it back in maybe late February, early March, and I thought the same thing. I'm like, I'm kind of thrown off by this movie.
Yeah.
Saw it again, knowing where it was going, and then I could spend more time with the dialogue and understand more about what the people were trying to say here, because I was trying to fill in those gaps, and it does work better on the second viewing.
Yeah.
But the guy, I have to admit, he's kind of a James Mason, a swarthy James Mason, and he worked in a very, yeah, strange way. Mick was amazing. Donald Sutherland was amazing. And Elizabeth Debicki, who plays the young woman, she was in Widows,
yeah,
the tall, wispy blonde. She was amazing.
Yeah.
So it's a strange story with interesting characters, and it's in Lake Como, which is, it's on my bucket list. This is a place I have, yeah, to, I mean, James Bond has been there, Darth Vader has been there, and now these guys, I want to go there.
You know, that's why I want to watch it again, because, and especially Mick Jagger's kind of the highlight of this, just,
yeah,
the gamesmanship.
Listen to the words.
And listen to what he's actually saying, and it's a cat and mouse type thing. And
very much
I'm
so.
Letting you know that I know this, so you won't do this, or you will wonder about this, or what about this.
Yeah, and what is his real motivation in,
right,
hiring this guy in the,
right,
first place?
And kind of what I know, that you might not
it's,
think
it's almost
I know.
Noir-ish.
Yeah. So anyway, the title
I think Hitchcock
it,
would have enjoyed this movie.
I think he would have too. It would have been interesting to see it with a Hitchcock twist as well, and it already has its twists. Burnt Orange Heresy, and how do we see this one?
We see it at, believe it or not, Jordan Commons, at the Junction, at the Gateway, at the Cottonwood, and it's also on demand.
Yeah.
So thank you, Jordan, or Megaplex, for bringing Burn Orange Heresy. It is noir. It's shocking in places.
So if you're looking for a brand new film with some real major stars in it on the big screen, this is it.
Yeah.
And again, be aware of its rating, but other than that, it's an interesting movie.
And it's going to throw you.
Yeah, and I do want to see it again, just because there were some subtleties that I'm sure I missed.
I'm actually glad I saw it again. I just watched it yesterday, and I thought, oh, I'm so glad. I thought I knew it pretty well.
Yeah.
But there's more to it.
All right.
The Movie Show.
What about that ship? Never stop it! The garbage will do!
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think that we probably ought to do a little telephone torture at this juncture.
How could you?
What do you think?
We'll be down to six.
We'll be down to six listeners?
Yep.
Ah, rats. Well, it's becoming more exclusive looking at that way.
That's true.
You know, it's harder to... Never mind.
Just call us and tell us what you'd like us to talk
That's
about.
Right. Hey, you know, speaking of being able to catch up on the movie show, because, you know, heaven forbid you were to ever miss it, but you can stay connected at home with the KSL News Radio app, sponsored by Any Hour Services, and listen to the movie show, all kinds of stuff.
Sweet.
All right. So, Steve, I am thinking of a number.
Clever boy.
I'm thinking of a number right now.
I am thinking of an Audi car used to be called the Quattro.
Ooh, Quattro.
Yes.
Going for number four. We are looking. Okay, now Gustavo is cleansing the lines at this point.
De-donning
the lines. And if Honest Tom is first person on the line, you know, it'll be... a shocker.
It won't be to me.
Well, I know. You know, you kind of wonder what kind of motivation we have. Well, it's fabulous prizes.
It's prestige.
Prestige and fabulous prizes worth up to dollars, which, of course, includes today two tickets to the Megaplex Theater, the two dranks to go along with it, and the tub o' popcorn. And with
You keep talking like they're in the South somewhere. They are in Southern Utah.
They're in Southern Utah, and Southern Salt Lake County, and
LaSalle.
Down in Utah County, which is South. And you know,
they don't say dranks down in. Sure, they
do.
Probably do.
Okay, send your hate mail to ssales@ksl.com. Okay, so should we go to our phone line and find out who our first loser is today?
Ooh, ouch!
All right, here we go. Hi, who's this?
Hello, this is Bryce Pryor, Springville, Utah. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. You're down south, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Well, you're a little bit to the...
I'm still a loser, even though it's my anniversary.
It's your anniversary. We're making you a loser on your anniversary?
It's bittersweet.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll call back and I can try off with a strong comeback.
There you go, because you do have, you know, I mean, there's more chances. But then again, there's more chances to be a loser, too. And he's already gone.
He's ruined his day.
He's left us in the dust. He's determined to win this on his anniversary.
Honey, I want a divorce.
That would be that would be nice to have this fabulous prize for his anniversary.
That would have been.
All right, but he's still a loser, Gustavo, and you know what to do.
I'm a loser, baby.
Oh, Gustavo's been hardcore lately.
I don't know. Is everything going okay, Gustavo?
Bam,
should we?
I don't know. Maybe
sit down. And
maybe he lost the fanny pack we gave him.
Throw him down on a couch. See what's going on.
I'm not sure. What are you going to do? Tickle him to death? Okay, now let's
psychiatrist.
Go. Oh, it's one of the sounded a little weirder than that. Okay, so let's go back to the phone line and let's find out.
Sick boy.
Who this is? Hi, who's this?
This is Ethan.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
No, 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 no. You're not doing pretty good. Because you're caller number two. We're looking for caller number four, which makes you a
loser.
Yeah, it does. Gustavo, back me up on this.
You lose. Good day, sir.
Yeah.
Sorry, bro.
Just brutal. All right, back to the phone line.
This is tough radio.
This is tough love radio.
Oh.
All right, so we go back.
In there. I get it.
We go back to the phone line, and this will be our final last loser of the day. Let's find out who gets that honor. Hi, who's this? Hello? I hear that little echo in the back that's my delay. We didn't hear any vocal on that, which means we don't count.
Not even
it.
A, hmm, hmm, hmm,
I know.
You've been captive.
I know. We don't count it.
Boy,
so,
this guy,
I know.
Is this person going to be ticked?
This next person very well could have been the winner, but not because we didn't get any sound on the last call. So, hi, who's this?
Well, better to be a loser than a winner, I guess. This is our Tom. Couldn't make it the first caller, but made it second, third.
Wow.
Honest Tom,
you
slipping,
know,
huh?
it's interesting. If you know, if that last person would have even gone, you know, something like that, you know, crap, you know, something, you would have been the big wiener. But
although,
but you're not.
Hasn't he?
That's okay.
Well, I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so. I mean, he's been a contestant many times, and we've slam dunked him.
Actually, he's tried to win, and he actually admitted that I've won.
Yeah,
too recently.
That's why we call him Honest Tom.
Yeah.
But Tom. Embrace it. You are a
loser. 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
This is getting tough on the old psyche.
Give it to him, Gustavo.
I'm a loser, baby.
Oh,
so
double
back.
Practically begged him to do it.
Wow.
He didn't have a choice.
Okay, now we go back to the phone line, and fabulous prizes worth up to dollars are on the line right now.
This is it, right here.
This is it. This is that moment we've all been waiting for. Hi, who's
Your
this?
Life's about to change.
Yep.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hold on, I turned off my radio. My name is Charlene.
Charlene, how you doing?
I am doing great.
You are doing super great because... You are a big, fill in the blank.
Wiener.
Ah, oh. She got it right.
She got the French version.
You are a big wiener. You've won fabulous prizes worth up to.
Dollars.
Dollars. See, she's right on target here. Now, you have won
she's
two.
The Shatner pause.
Two tickets to the Megaplex Theater. You've won two drinks for you to enjoy, and you've won a tub of popcorn. How does that make you feel on this August day?
So excited. I am thrilled. I love your show. This is the first time I've ever gotten through, so I'm thrilled to death.
Well, congratulations. Now,
yeah.
Of course, you do know that there's nothing entirely free, right? So there is one little duty we're going to ask of you, because there are others, unlike yourself, who are not wieners today. They are losers
okay.
today. So what
right.
do we do? What do we do? Yeah, what do we do to make them feel better?
Frank. I don't know.
She got every other cue. There's only one guy that can
Big
make...
Big fan of the show, you said?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, now... Only one guy could sing a song about losers.
Oh, that's and right. The Big Blue Eyes.
Ooh. She got it. The Big Blue Eyes.
One big one.
Frank Sinatra, ladies and gentlemen. It's my favorite story about
one big blue eye.
My favorite story about colorization. Remember how controversial that
Holy,
was at
they
first?
Had brown eyes.
He had brown eyes. And you go, are you kidding me? You colorize a movie with Frank Sinatra.
That's like making Lucille Ball a brunette.
Exactly, or a blonde or something. All right, there you have it. Another rousing rendition of Telephone Torture, one of the more cerebral moments in all of radiodom.
And congrats to Charlene. She pulled it out.
Yeah, she pulled it out. She came
she
through.
She panicked at the end.
She almost choked at the end, but she came up with good old Blue Eyes.
Good old Big Blue.
And a big thanks to the Megaplex theaters.
Yeah.
And fortunately, now when we're giving away tickets, you can go see either a classic or you can see one of the brand new movies that...
Made in Italy? Or
Made in Italy
Heresy
is there.
Or Gord. And then,
yeah, exactly. Gord. Go see the documentary on Gordon Lightfoot. All right, let's take a brief respite at this juncture in the show. And then when we come back, we've still got Americans Only Rock and Roll
Cream
magazine. That's coming up.
Yes. The Movie Show.
Fredo, you're my older brother, and I love you. But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again. Ever.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
You know how we always joke about movies that you're just fanning by and you just get sucked into it? Okay, Godfather 2 was on the other day, and I caught the part where they're down with Roth and they're in Havana, and that scene, you know, you see it in clips all the time and everything, but to see it in context where something is said when Fredo takes them out to this real sketchy place and he talks and he drops something that tips off Michael.
Oh.
That he was responsible for the shooting at Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's an epiphanal moment. You see it in Michael's eyes, and all of a sudden, and then when they're at the New Year's Eve celebration, and he takes Fredo right by the face and says, "I know it was you." Oh, man, you know, you forget how powerful. Some of that stuff almost becomes cliche when it's taken out into little sound bites.
When you see Pacino back then and then you see him in the later years, it's almost like two different actors.
I know. It really is. Almost like two different people.
Yeah.
And but, oh, man, you know, I know a lot of people.
You know, that's a good destination movie because you see Havana, you see New York, you see Italy.
Yeah. I would love to go to Havana. I used to mention that on the old traditional Doug Wright show, that if there was some place, I would love to go to Havana.
Oh, just for the music.
Oh, the music, the history, the culture, the old cars. Yeah, exactly. So, all right, Stephen, in the remaining moments, we have one more movie that we have yet to chat about, and it's Americans Only Rock and Roll Magazine.
Well, it's Cream, colon, America's Only Rock and
Roll. See, I don't have the full title then.
Well, then you don't. No, Cream is the key there.
Well, you know, I thought it was a secret until you watched it.
Oh, no.
Because there was the Rolling Stone, and then there was kind of like some people used to refer to it as the poor man's Rolling Stone, or maybe the working man's Rolling Stone. Anyway, let's get this soundbite from Cream. Okay.
There's no parallel for it in the rest of rock journalism. It was not a magazine that was about rock and roll. Rock and roll was taking place at the magazine.
Everybody was politically incorrect. That's what made Cream so good. He told the truth.
50 years after Cream's first issue published, it still stands for something.
Yeah, I can remember sitting around KRSP back in the day and then KCPX. And there was always a copy of Rolling Stone, first of all. That, you know, I was kind of joking off the air. That was kind of like the New Yorker of rock and roll. And then you had Cream, which was kind of the more, you know, off the rails.
They called it all kinds of things, even themselves, funny, folly, sassy, edgy, written by convicts, a tribe. They did say that Detroit was the center of it, and it was a tribute to the counterculture. They loved the group Cream, which is spelled C-R-E-A-M.
And boy, who doesn't? I mean, Eric Clapton, Ginger Baker. I mean,
great, great band. But they spelled it, they thought Rolling Stone was, you know, classless by just calling it the Rolling Stone. So they Cream with two E's instead of an E-A. Anyway, Alice Cooper talks about it. REO Speedwagon talks about it. One of the biggest fans is Cameron Crowe. And remember, he did Almost Famous.
Then. Right, right.
He was the hugest fan of Cream magazine. And it's just on and on of stories. Joan Jett having a meltdown. how they picked on Freddie Mercury.
What did they call him again?
Well...
Go ahead.
Really?
Yeah.
I think the title of the article was Bugs Bunny Superstar.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
That's wooed.
Yeah. Well.
It's just one of those movies that I didn't know about, I mean, I was reading, you know, Mad Magazine and all those surf magazines back in the day. I didn't know about this magazine. But
Cream?
Yeah. But once I saw some of the, you know, some of the articles, wait a minute, I apparently did read some of this stuff because I remember a lot of this stuff. And it talks about the guys who started it, how, you know, one guy gets fired, the other guy's like, what are you doing here? It's just one of those counterculture kind of documentaries that just kind of brightens your day, just makes you smile.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. I mean, it's not the greatest documentary, but for people who love that whole rock and roll counterculture kind of thing, they'll love this movie.
You know, it's interesting. You said something earlier when we were chatting off the air, you know, that why, you know, Rolling Stone would be criticized. Why did you name after a rock band? They didn't. They named it after the term Rolling Stone. It was Dylan's song. And like a Rolling Stone, and the message behind being a Rolling Stone.
But you can't tell the Cream guys that. They're like, that from
a... Honestly, you couldn't tell the Cream guys anything.
No, that's true.
I mean, they were the end-all and be-all in their own minds on that. So where do we see this?
This is on the Salt Lake Film Society at home.org.
All right.
Series.
They got some good stuff there.
They got 12, 13 good movies on there. All good stuff, most of it.
Hey, we have just a couple of minutes before we wrap up the show today. The after party is going to be what movie kind of motivated you or you've got it on your bucket list, as you mentioned.
To go,
you know,
to.
Lake Como. You know. So what is that movie? And you went, oh, man, I have got to go there.
Exactly.
You know, and I've had a couple of them fulfilled, and one of them was fulfilled kind of by accident. You know, in Thunderball, down in the Caribbean, they're at this restaurant and on this great thing. I remember as a kid going, that would be so cool. We actually had dinner in that restaurant.
Really?
Yeah, it was really cool. And they make a big deal down there that, you know, the James Bond movie was shot there.
Why wouldn't they? That'd be stupid nuts.
Absolutely. But we need to quickly mention Made in Italy, which is a really good movie, and you can see it on the big screen.
You can, yes.
This is the one with Liam Neeson and his son.
And his son, yeah.
You're going to like
that. Sweet little
kind
of Under the Tuscan Sun kind of movie.
And then there's the much tougher, but some big stars, Donald Sutherland and so on in this one, and it's Burnt Orange Heresy. And that's a much rougher movie by a long shot.
They're actually showing another movie called Waiting for the Barbarians with Mark Rylance as their lead, along with Robert Pattinson and Johnny Depp. Now, I know the names sound amazing. This is kind of a little film, you know, about a little fort. And Johnny Depp plays the character. What's the Nazi from Indiana Jones? Like, but he burns his hand.
Oh, yeah. What?
He looks like that guy.
Oh, yeah. Isn't he one of the most sinister, being such a wimpy, but he's just such a sinister.
I just love his hanger. Remember that hanger where he thought it was a weapon?
Yeah.
And then he...
I know. And
he put his coat on it.
He's his coat on it. What a great movie. All right. Well, that does it for the movie show today. And thank you for being with us. Join us on the KSL News Radio Facebook page where we will have the opportunity for you to win some fabulous prizes worth up to dollars.
$20
gift card. And we'll do that on the after party. And tonight, when you go home, please make sure that you virtually hug the people that you love.